Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem, Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis, the end of the third parak, Lulav HaGazel, and the beginning of the fourth parak, Lulav V'Arava. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yossi stated in the Mishnah Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis that if the first day of Sukkot fell on Shabbos and one inadvertently carried the lulav into Rishus of Rabbim, he's not chayv achatas mifnei shuatzil b'rishus because he carried it out with permission to do a mitzvah. Rashi explains that he was preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, thinking about it and rushing to do it, and Rabbi Yossi holds tov b'dvar mitzvah pater. One preoccupied with a mitzvah is pater from bringing achatas. Abai said lo shanu elo shel yatzabo. The Mishnah refers only to where he's not yet fulfilled his chiyuv of lulav at the time he carries it out, but if he had, he would be chayiv. The Gemara challenges Abai, since from the moment he picks up the lulav, he has fulfilled his chiyuv with it. If Abai is correct, then when would Rabbi Yossi ever rule that one is patur? Abai answered, kishahafacho, in a case where one inverted it, meaning he picked up the lulav upside down. Rava said you may even say when he did not invert it. Rather, Rabbi Yossi's case would be where he carried it out in a kli. The Gemara then asks if Rava is the one who holds it l'kicha yedei davar acher shmela kicha, the taking by means of something else is considered a valid taking. The Gemara answers that this is only when it's done derech kavod, not derech b'zayon, in a disrespectful way. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, katnu yedei l'nanea chayv b'lulav. A child who knows how to wave the lulav is chayv in the mitzvah. In addition to that, a braisa taught lisatev chay betzitzis. A child who knows how to wrap himself is chay ben tzitzis. Lishmor tefillin avi lokeach tefillin. If he knows how to guard the kedusha of tefillin properly, his father buys tefillin for him. Yodei ledaber avi vlom de Torah b'kriyishma. If he knows how to talk, his father teaches him Torah and kriyishma. The Gemara asks what is meant here by Torah, and Reb Hubnuna said it means that the father teaches the child the pasuk of Torah tzivolanu Moshe Marasha Kiyos Yaakov. The Torah that Moshe commanded us is the heritage of Kiyos Yaakov. Kriyishma here means Pasuk Rishon, the first Pasuk. And point number three, the first mission in the fourth parak states, Lulav v'arava shisha v'shiva. The mitzvahs of Lulav and Arava are performed in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 or 7 days. Under what circumstances is the Lulav performed for 7 days? Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechali B'Shabbos. When the first day of the Chag falls on Shabbos, the Lulav is taken for 7 days. Ushar Kol Yamim Shisha. But when the first day falls on any of the other days of the week, the lulav is taken for only 6 days. For the chiyuv of lulav is not docha Shabbos, it falls on the final 6 days of Sukkot. The Gemara asks why it should be forbidden to take the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash. Tilta ba'amahu b'lidchi Shabbos. The only concern is handling the lulav, which is a mitzvah prohibition, and since it doesn't involve a deraisa, let this mitzvah be docha Shabbos. Rabbi answered, gezer shem yitlana b'yado v'yelch etzo baki lilmod. The Rabban were gozer against taking a lulav on Shabbos, lest one take it in his hand and go to an expert to learn the halachos, v'yaviren arba amos b'rishus rabbim, and it inadvertently carry a dalad amos in Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara adds that this is the same reason against blowing the shofar on a Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, and for the decree against reading the Megillah on a Purim that falls on Shabbos. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Yossi stated in the Mishnah Daf Mem Alef Amud Beis that if the first day of Sukkot fell on Shabbos and one inadvertently carried the lulav into Rishus HaRabim, he's not chay v'chatas mifnei shehotzilo b'rishus because he carried it out with permission to do a mitzvah. Rashi explains that he was preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, thinking about it and rushing to do it, and Rabbi Yossi holds tov b'dvar mitzvah pater. One preoccupied with a mitzvah is pater. Abai said, lo shanu el shel yatzabo. The Mishnah refers only to where he has not yet fulfilled his chiyuv of lulav at the time he carries it out, but if he had, he would be chayiv. The Gemara challenges Abai, since from the moment he picks the lulav up, he has fulfilled the chiyuv with it. If Abai is correct, then when would Rabbi Yossi ever rule that one is patur? Abai answered, kishafacho, in a case where one inverted it, meaning he picked up the lulav upside down. Rava said you may even say where he did not invert it. Rabbi Yossi's case would be where he carried it out in a kli. The Gemara said Rava is the one who holds l'kicha yedei davar acher shmela kicha, that taking by means of something else is considered a valid taking. The Gemara answers that that's only when it's derech kavod, not derech bezayon, in a disrespectful way. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, katnu yedei l'nanea chayv b'lulav. A child who knows how to wave the lulav is chayv in the mitzvah. In addition to that, a braisa taught lisatev chayv betzitzis. A child who knows how to wrap himself is chayv in tzitzis. Lishmor tefillin aviv lokeach tefillin. If he knows how to guard the kedusha of tefillin properly, his father buys tefillin for him. Yodei ledaber aviv lom de Torah b'kriyishma. If he knows how to talk, his father teaches him Torah and kriyishma. The Gemara asks what is meant here by Torah, and Reb Hamnuna said it means that the father teaches the child the pasuk Torah tzivolanu Moshe Marasha Kiyos Yaakov. The Torah that Moshe commanded us is the heritage of Kiyos Yaakov. Kriyishma here means Pasuk Rishon, the first Pasuk. And point number three, the first mission, the fourth parak states, Lulav Arava Shisha Vishiva. The mitzvahs of Lulav and Arava are performed in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 or 7 days. Now, under what circumstances is the lul performed for 7 days? Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechol Yip Shabbos. When the first day of the Chag falls on Shabbos, the lul is taken for 7 days. Ushar Kol Yom Shisha. But when the first day falls on any of the other days of the week, the lul is taken for only 6 days. For the Chiv of lul is not Docha Shabbos, it falls on the final 6 days of Sukkot. Gemara, why should it be forbidden to take the lul in the base of Mikdash? Tilta Ba'amahu V'lidichi Shabbos. The only concern is handling the lul, which is a mukzvah prohibition. And since it doesn't involve a daraisa, let this mitzvah be Docha Shabbos. Rabbi answered, Gezer Shemi Yitlana B'yado V'yechel Eitzo Baki V'lumot. The Rabbanu were gozer against taking a lulav on Shabbos, lest one take it in his hand and go to an expert to learn the halachos, V'yavirena Arba Amos B'rushus Arabim. And B'shogeg carry it Dalad Amos in Rishus Arabim. The Gemara adds that this is the same reason against blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, and for the decree against reading the Megillah on Purim that falls on Shabbos. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Mem Beis, and our standard simmon is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster who is poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Rishus HaRabim got poked again by kids passing by who were shaking their lulavim while singing Torah Tzivolan and Moshe as they headed 4 amos towards the neighborhood Baki to learn the halachos. Once again in slow motion. The mobster, that must be one Daf Mem Beis. The mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Rishus HaRabim, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi said that if the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos and one inadvertently carried his lulav into Rishus HaRabim, he's not chayv achatas because he carried it out with permission to do a mitzvah. Rashi explains that he was preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, thinking about it and rushing to do it, and Rabbi Yossi holds a Torah b'dvar mitzvah is pater. Abai said the Mishnah refers only to where he's not yet fulfilled his chiyuv of lulav at the time he carries it out, but if he had, he would be chayv. Abai said this would be in a case where one inverted it, meaning he picked up the lulav upside down. Rava said you may even say where he did not invert it, rather it would be where he carried it out in a kli. And even though Rava is the one who holds l'kicha yidei davar achir shema l'kicha, that's only when it's derech kavod, not derech bezayon, in a disrespectful way. So the mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Rishus HaRabim, got poked again by kids passing by, who were shaking their lulavim while singing towards Sivolan and Moshe, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Katan Hiyodei L'Naneya Chayv B'Lulav. A child who knows how to weigh the lulav is chayv in the mitzvah. In addition, the Braisa taught that if the child knows how to wrap himself, he's chayv in tzitzis. If he knows how to guard the Kedusha of tefillin properly, his father buys tefillin for him. And if he knows how to talk, his father teaches him Torah and Kriya Shema. The Gemara asks, what is meant here by Torah? And Reb Hamnuna said, it means that father teaches the child the pasuk of Torah Sivolan and Moshe, Marasha Kios Yaakov. And Kriya Shema here means Pasuk Rishon, the first Pasuk. So the mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Rishus HaRabim, got poked again by kids passing by, who were shaking their lulavim while singing towards Sivolan and Moshe, as they headed Dalad Amos towards the neighborhood Baki to learn the halachos. Which reminds that we learned the Chiyuv of Lulav is not Docha Shabbos, it falls on the final 6 days of Sukkot. Then we ask why it should be forbidden to take a Lulav in the base of Mikdash, it's still to Ba'amahu V'lidchi Shabbos. The only concern is handling the Lulav, which is a Muktzah prohibition, and since it doesn't involve a Daraisa, let this mitzvah be Docha Shabbos. Rabbi answered, Gezer Shem Yitlana B'yado V'yelech Eitzo Baki Lumo. The Rabban were gozer against taking a Lulav on Shabbos, lest one take it in his hand and go to an expert to learn the halachos, V'yavirenu Arba Amos B'shus HaRabim, and inadvertently will carry it Dalad Amos in Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara adds that this is the same reason against blowing the shofar on a Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, and for the decree against reading the Megillah on a Purim that falls on Shabbos. So once again, the mobster was poked by the man who inadvertently carried his lulav upside down as he walked into Rishus HaRabim, got poked again by kids passing by who were shaking their lulavim while singing Torah Tzivolan and Moshe as they headed Dalad Amos towards the neighborhood Baki to learn the halachos. All right, now it's time for a 4 blot back Chazara. Daf Lamed Ches, the Simmer Daf Lamed Ches is a Devar Lach, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. When the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, that must be on Daf Lamed Ches, a Devar Lach. When the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a contradiction and states in the Mishnah that one takes the lulav at the table, which is to say that he must interrupt his meal in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But it states in the Mishnah in Shabbos that if one began his meal before davening mincha, he's not required to interrupt his meal, but can finish in daven afterwards. Rav Safra said there's no stira. The Mishnah in Shabbos refers to where there's enough time in the day to finish the meal in daven, whereas our Mishnah is dealing with when there's not enough time to finish and take the lulav. So when the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, he began reciting Hallel with Halukah, upon which his guests responded in kind. Which reminds the Gemara brings Rav, who said major halachas can be deduced from the current custom for the recitation of Hallel. Rashi explains that the custom in Rav's time changed considerably from when Hallel was instituted by the Nevi'im, as people became more proficient in reciting Hallel together with the Baal Tefillah, and the custom was to do it in unison, except in certain places. The first halakha of six that Rava mentioned was that the Baal Tefillah would recite the first word, Halukah, and the people would respond, Halukah. Mikansha, mitzvah zlanos Halukah. From here, it can be inferred that it's a mitzvah to respond, Halukah, at the beginning of Hallel. So, when the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, he began reciting Hallel with Halukah, upon which his guests responded in kind, except for the man who was busy enjoying his matzah ball, who merely listened as his form of response. Which reminds us that the source for Shomei Ko'onah comes from the pasuk that states that Yoshiyahu read from the Sefer when in fact he listened to Shafan read it. We see from here that Shomei Ko'onah. Daf Lamites, so the Simmer Daf Lamites is a letter, so here goes. When the letter, that must be more on Daf Lamites. When the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Hallel arrived, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph stated, where the minhag with Hallel is levarach, yavarach, to recite a bracha, one recites a bracha. Bai said, they taught that the manner of making a bracha is a minhag only with regard to the one recited after Hallel. But with regard to the bracha recited before Hallel, there's an actual chiyuv to recite the bracha. For Rabbi Yudah said, in the Emesh Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvahs kulan mevarach alehen obra l'siyasan. Regarding all of the mitzvahs, one recites the bracha for them immediately before the performance. The Gemara asks which pasuk indicates the word over has the meaning of before and brings three sources. So when the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Hallel arrived, along with the Shemitah lulav package that came with an esrog as a present, which reminds the next Mishnah states that if one purchases a lulav during Shemitah from an Amar Arz, he must give him the esrog as a gift because he's not permitted to purchase it from it during Shemitah. If the Amar Arz does not want to give him the esrog as a gift, Rav Huna said, Mavli le demei esrog b'lulav. He includes the cost of the esrog in the price of the lulav. Rashi explains that he should raise the price of the lulav to the point where he can give the esrog as a gift. So when the letter with the instructions to recite a bracha at the beginning of Hallel arrived, along with the Shemitah lulav package that came with an esrog as a present, the man made sure to pay the Amar Arz only enough to purchase three meals, which reminds us. The Gemara questions why the Mishnah forbids one to purchase an esrog outright and answers, Levisha ain't mosin to make Paris Shvi's Lamars, because one's not permitted to give an Amar's money from the sale of Shemitah produce because he may use the money in a forbidden manner. Rashi explains that the Torah states that Shvi's produce is la'achla, v'lo l'schora, for you to eat and not to do commerce. This does not prohibit the produce from being sold. Rather, it teaches that the money, like the produce for which it was received, must be consumed, meaning spent on food or similar items during Shemitah. An Amar Arz is suspected of saving his money past this time. If one purchases his produce from him, then he'll be leading to sin. For Rastan and Brisa, one is not permitted to give an Amar Arz money from the sale of Shemitah produce above the cost of purchasing three meals. Daf Mem, so the Simmer Daf Mem is a swimming pool. So here goes. The lifeguard who used a lulav broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck. Pool? That must be on Daf Mem. The lifeguard who used a lulav broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck, which reminds us, the Gemara notes that the reason a lulav may be purchased from an Amar Arz during Shemitah is because it's a product of the sixth year that entered the seventh, which implies, Had Shviz, Kadosh, that a lulav that is a product of the seventh year has Kedusha Shviz. Why should this be so? A lulav is mere wood, not produce, and wood has no Kedusha Shviz. The Gemara answers that the pasuk states the produce of the land during Shviz is Lechem Lachla, for you to eat. Lechem Dumya de Lachla. The larger uses permitted by lechem must be similar to those of the phrase l'achla. This teaches that the uses are permitted are only misha hanaso ubiiru shava, those whose benefit coincides with consumption of the produce. This would exclude wood from kedusha shviz, whose benefit comes after its consumption, meaning when it's already reduced to coals. A lulav's typical use as a broom has its benefit and consumption, meaning it gets worn down, at the same time making it subject to kedusha shviz. So the lifeguard who used a lulav broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck found monies with Kedusha Shviz, which reminds us we have a machlokes regarding Kedusha Shviz attaching onto money. Rabbi Elazar said, Ein Shviz mischalelis ela derech mekach. Shemitah produce cannot be mischalelis, meaning imparted Kedusha to money or produce exchanged for it, except by way of purchase. Rabbi Yochanan said, Ben derech mekach, ben derech hilul. It can be imparted both by way of purchase and by way of chilul. Rashi explains that one would say this produce should be mechulalin onto these monies. The Gemara brings the respective psukim that support each position. So the lifeguard who used a lulav broom with Kedusha Shviz to sweep around the pool deck found monies with Kedusha Shviz right next to a poor Shemitah violator who was trying to sell his metaltalin to some of the pool guests. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what then does Rabbi Yochanan do with the pasuk Kisimchru Mimkar, when you shall make a sale, and answers that he needs it for the source of the teaching of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. For Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, Bo Rei Kama Kasha Avakashal Shviz. come and see how harsh is the dust of the prohibition of Shvi's. For if a man does business with the produce of the Shemitah year, hoping to profit thereby, in the end, poverty will force him to sell his metaltalim, bekelim. Daf Memov, so the Simmer Daf Memov is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must be one Daf Memolov. The grandma who loved to seek out ways to do a Zechel Mikdash, proudly benched Luv for 7 days straight, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Barishona Yeluv Nito B'Mikdash Shiva. Originally in the days of the base of Mikdash, Luv was taking the temple all 7 days of Sukkot, and the provinces on only one day being the first day. When the base of Mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai institute that will be taken in the provinces all 7 days of Sukkot, Zechel Mikdash, as a remembrance of the base of Mikdash. The Gemara asked for the source that would have been to make a Zechel Mikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan said that states in Yirmiyahu, Tzion hi Dorish Einla, saying, she is Tzion, there is none who seek her. From the words Dorish Einla, there is none who seek her, Makal the boy Drisha, it's implied that she requires seeking. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai determined that the way to fulfill this is through performing the mitzvah of the way it was done in the base of Mikdash. So the grandma who left to seek out ways to do a Zechel Mikdash proudly benched Luv for 7 days straight and gave her special Chadash bowl as a gift to friends to be used after the 16th, which reminds us. The Mishnah say that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai also instituted Shi Yom Hanef Kula Asur, that the entire day of waving, referring to the wave of the Omer, should be forbidden for eating from Chadash, the new crop of grain. Rashi explains that when the Omer is brought, Chadash is only permitted afterwards, but when there's no base in Mikdash and Omer offering, it's permitted immediately upon daybreak of the 16th. The Gemara teaches that we're not from Yochanan Zakkai's institution in the time when there will be a base in Mikdash. People will think that it's permitted at daybreak since the previous year it was permitted then. The Gemara seeks to clarify the day Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was concerned that the temple would be rebuilt and concludes that the case is when the temple was rebuilt the night of the 16th or just before Shkia on the 15th, which might cause a delay for it to be brought on the 16th. Rashi clarifies that even though the temple is not permitted to be rebuilt at night or on Yantiv, the restrictions only apply to human construction. However, by Shlishi will miraculously descend intact from Shemaim, as it says in the Pasuk, Mikdash Hashem konnu yadecha, the Mikdash, my master, that your hand established. So the grandma who loved to seek out ways to do a Zechel Mikdash proudly benched Luv for 7 days straight and gave her special Chadash bowl as a gift to friends to be used after the 16th, on condition they return it. Which reminds us, a brice was brought that states that a person cannot fulfill his chiyuv of luv on the first day of Yantiv with his friend's luv, elin kenasna luv matana, unless the latter gave it to him as a gift, and brings an instant where Ben Gamliel was traveling in a boat with other rabban, gave his luv worth 1,000 zuz to the other rabban to use, each one gifting the luv to the next one, and then Rabbi Akiva, who used the last, returned it. The Tanna is coming to teach that matana almanas lachzir shma matana, a gift granted on condition that it be returned, is legally considered a gift. Rabbi taught that if one did not return the luv afterwards, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Since he didn't fulfill the condition, it's clarified retroactively that the gift was void and that he used a stolen luv. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.